Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also with me today. I've just completed a book called Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West. And Bill, I think in summary, I have to say that the rise of the Christian West was spectacular. The fall of the Christian West in the last 75 years has been spectacular, but the rise was more spectacular than the fall. And that's my conclusion. Truly, what Christ did through the conversion of the nations, through the influence of the Christian culture over approximately 1,500 years was astounding, just utterly astounding. It was astounding in the area of economy, it was astounding in the area of science, technology, medicine, charity. In almost every aspect of human existence, Jesus Christ did something phenomenal when he came and when he influenced the Western mind over a period of 1,500 years. It was extraordinary what he did, what Jesus did through his disciples, through his missionaries, through his pastors, and those who disciple the nations over a period of 1,500 years. The story is phenomenal, truly yeah. phenomenal, and I think it was the most exciting study I have done in history. So that book is soon to come out. We're looking at about a 750-page review or chronicle of the amazing and spectacular rise of Western civilization and, of course, the spectacular fall of Western civilization, which is what we are witnessing now.
Yeah. I was thinking about that over the Christmas holidays and thinking, what if Jesus had never been born?
Yeah.
Okay. Outside of salvation, the benefits, the blessings that Christianity has brought to culture.
Far as the curse is found.
Yeah. They're innumerable.
Oh, man.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been books written about this, what if Jesus had never been born mm-hmm. kind of perspective. And we need to pause and reflect on that and be reminded of the blessing that Christianity has been to the culture and to the world. That, you know, God said to the Jews that they would be a blessing to the entire world because through them the Messiah would come. But it was more than that. It was just where Christianity has flourished, life has been improved dramatically.
Truly phenomenal. And not just in the West, but worldwide.
Yeah.
The influence of Western technology, Western medicine, Western everything else around the world has been phenomenal, my friends. We're talking about something absolutely phenomenal that will knock your socks off. If you just study the rise of the Christian influence in the Western world, it is truly phenomenal. Remember, my friends, that the average lifespan of the average person in the year 1800 was 30 to 40 years. Now, according to Psalm 90, Moses' song, the average lifespan should be anywhere between 70 and 80 years of age, which is where it is today. But somehow, with the rise of cities in the modern secular world coming out of the Renaissance, we began to see a drop-off of the average life expectancy of the average person living in the Western world. But something happened in the 1700s and 1800s, and we're going to talk about what Christians did. This was a phenomenal work of Christians, exclusively Christians, have saved hundreds of millions of lives because of some spectacular medical inventions. That summary, that chronicle, next on Generation. Stay with me.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you as we refer to our new publication, Epoch, The Rise and the Fall of the West. And I want to look at the phenomenal gift that God has given the Western world in the area of medical science. And so much of it occurred in the 1700s and 1800s. Friends, remember the average lifespan around 1800 was 30 to 40 years of age for the average person. Of course, much of that was those children who were lost in childbirth or in those early years. But the British Medical Journal did a very interesting survey, Bill, about 10 years ago. And they basically queried their 11,300 readers, largely doctors. So they asked their readers, 11,300 doctors, they asked them, what were the most important milestones in medical history? What were they? Where did we make the most progress? And the results are interesting, very interesting. It turns out that of the 11,300 readers of the British Medical Journal surveyed on the most important milestones in Western history and medical history, what they concluded, the number one most important contribution was, guess what? The introduction of clean water and sewage disposal in the modern world, which occurred in the 19th century. It's very interesting. It's called the Sanitary Revolution. It's by far the most important thing. And covering sewers, processing waste was an important step towards biblical principle in the Christian West, especially in relation to civic health. Listen to Deuteronomy 23:13. And you shall have a paddle upon your weapon, and it shall be when you will ease yourself abroad. Now, easing yourself abroad is a nice way of saying, you know, you're going to the bathroom,
right?
Basically. And so here's biblical law in relation to this. When you ease yourself abroad, you shall dig therewith and shall turn back and cover that which comes from you. Okay, so what's the principle there, Bill? What's the absolutely most important, most critical principle per 11,300 doctors who read the British Medical Journal and, may I add, God?
Yeah, sanitation.
You got it. You got it. And that is part and parcel of a biblical worldview. Very important, very critical. Friends, this came about in 1875, starting in 1875, with guys like George Jennings. These are British inventors. George Jennings, Daniel Bostel, and Thomas Crapper. And guess what these guys invented?
Well, I would assume from the last name, the toilet.
The toilet. That's right.
The indoor flushing toilet.
The indoor flushing toilet. One of the most important advancements for modern sanitation practices. Why is this important? Because the principle in Deuteronomy chapter 13 or 23 referred to the covering of the waste. And so the flushing toilet would do what?
It would cover it with water.
It would cover it with water, exactly. Yeah. And then create a barrier between the waste and everybody else. By the water.
I recall reading a memoir by an older man who remembered when indoor toilets came into his life, his house. And he was, as a child, shocked that they were going to put an indoor toilet in because he said, what about the smell? And his dad said, oh, the water covers up that. And it just shocked me that before that, that's why you had outdoor toilets, because there was no way to control the odors and the problems that it would create.
That's right. And I was raised in a farming village in Japan in which, Bill, we did not have a flushing toilet, rather a big hole in the ground that was just under the bathroom area. And that would be pumped out once every 2 weeks, as I recall. we would call it the Benjo truck, would come in and pump out the wastes. But thanks be to God, there's been the sewer systems, plumbing systems that came into play. Now, here's what's important. Every significant medical advancement in the last 200 years was contributed by Christians.
You know,
every single one of them.
The one I think of the most often is Lister, for whom we get Listerine. You know, and he had this very simple thing. He worked in delivering babies, and he noticed that the mortality rate was extremely high, but he watched doctors move from one delivery to another without washing their hands. He merely suggested, wash your hands between seeing patients, and the death rate will go. He was mocked for that. He was nearly driven out of the medical field by his contemporaries for suggesting something that you and I take for granted, and that is washing our hands.
Well, friends, not many significant medical breakthroughs occurred in the 20th and 21st centuries, but if you move back into the 19th century and the early 20th century, you begin to find the significant discoveries in medical history. A Christian researcher named Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin, and did so somewhat accidentally. He forgot to clean a Petri dish in his laboratory, returned 2 weeks later to find a mold growing, and the Staphylococcus bacteria in the dish was prevented from multiplying. So he's thinking, oh, what's this mold doing, preventing the Staphylococcus from multiplying? Later, the scientist commented on his discovery, one sometimes finds what one is not looking for. When I woke up just after dawn on September 28th, 1928, I certainly didn't plan to revolutionize all medicine by discovering the world's first antibiotic, a bacteria killer. But I guess that was exactly what I did. Fleming was not ashamed to testify of his Christian faith. He said, my greatest discovery was that I needed God, and that I was nothing without him, and that he loved me and showed his love by sending Jesus to save me. Now, if you review the statistical breakdown of the causes for American deaths in 1910, it turns out 20% of annual deaths were due to diseases that could have been fixed by antibiotics. Mm-hmm. In the U.S. alone, these treatments saved 45 million lives over 75 years. Applying the same rates to the whole world, Alexander Fleming's discovery, this Christian man's discovery, would have saved over 1 billion lives over the last 75 years. No other medical discovery in Western history comes close to such contributions. It turns out the British Medical Journal conducted the survey and found that this was the greatest medical advance since 1840. The third most important medical advancement in the study was vaccinations, which again was a medical breakthrough which has extensively curtailed the severity of viral pandemics worldwide. This actually began with Christian influence. It was the spring of 1721. A sailor brought smallpox into Boston Harbor, infecting about 5,000 people and killing 800. The famous pastor of Boston's North Church, Cotton Mather, he was the son of Increase Mather, he is credited as the first to promote inoculation during the epidemic. Now, the treatment the pastor recommended was crude, where the pus from a person infected with smallpox is introduced in the punctured skin of another unhealthy individual. So it was kind of gross, kind of crude. But despite the enthusiastic support of the ministers, so the pastors were all for it, the doctors were all against it. And yeah, this is typically what happens, right?
Isn't that interesting?
It's typically what happens is the establishment doctors aren't good for it, but the pastors are all for it. But the experiment was successful. 400 were inoculated, only 6 died. And that was a way better ratio than the 1 in 6 that you got with those who were infected by smallpox. Another Christian would then eventually develop a safer vaccine in 1796. Again, exclusively Christian. I want everybody to know it's exclusively Christian that have the insight and are given the gifts to provide the life-saving, significant milestones in medical history. Always Christians. Always Christians. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the physician, and his deal is about healing, but he wants to heal through his disciples. And that's precisely what happens again and again through medical history. It's always Christians who bring about the most significant steps towards healing in American medical history and Western medical history. This was Edward Jenner, who noticed that milkmaids who worked with cows in a dairy would not contract a smallpox if they had more mild disease of cowpox. So the Edward Jenner figured this one out. He developed the first vaccine from cowpox, administered successfully to an 8-year-old boy. It's estimated that about 10% of the English population died from viruses like the smallpox before the vaccine came along. Towards the end of his life, Dr. Jenner told a friend, "I'm not surprised that men are not grateful to me, but I wonder that they are not grateful to God for the good which he has made me the instrument of conveying to my fellow creatures." Now, Edward Jenner would boil down his principles of scientific investigation to this. He said this: the sacred scriptures form the only pillow on which the soul can find repose and refreshment, and the power and mercy of providence is sublimely and awfully displayed in nature. How beautifully is power here seasoned with mercy. So that was his worldview. Again, a Christian brings vaccines to the world in 1796. The fourth most important discovery in medical science of the last two centuries was probably the contribution of a Christian doctor in Toronto, Canada. This guy was raised in Maine. Dr. Charles Best came upon the use of insulin while testing diabetic dogs in 1922. He was an active member of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Toronto. He was called upon to read the scriptures regularly in the church. His biographer, his son Henry, reported his favorite hymns as the Old Rugged Cross and Abide With Me. I bought his son's biography because I wanted to know, who are these people that are bringing these amazing blessings to the entire world? In an interview with the British Medical Association conducted in 1959, which is on YouTube, I watched it. Dr. Best clearly acknowledged the creator behind it all. Mm-hmm. Charles Best's work on insulin has saved at least 200 million lives worldwide. Is that amazing? That puts the chills up and down the back of my neck. A comprehensive survey of the most significant medical discoveries would also have to include the application of anesthesia. And that turns out to be like number four, number five on the British Medical Journal's survey. Anesthesia, very big. James Young Simpson takes his place in history as the first physician. Now, there are some dentists that played around with it, but he is the first physician to use anesthesia in 1847. Is the first one. A devout Christian, this doctor also testified to his faith in an extended essay entitled My Substitute. Now listen to this. This is what Simpson says, okay? Simpson, the discovery of anesthesia and the first to apply it to a patient in 1847. This is what Simpson says. I saw myself as a sinner standing on the brink of ruin, deserving nothing but hell. For one sin, no, for many, many sins committed against the unchanging laws of God. But again, I looked and saw Jesus, my substitute, scourged in my stead and dying on the cross for me. I looked and wept and I was forgiven. And it seemed to me to be my duty to tell you of that Savior, to see if you will not also look and live. As Simpson lay on his deathbed, he continued to affirm his faith in Christ to the very end, according to his transcriptions made by his nephew. I read through them. They go on and on for like 40 pages. This is a quote from Simpson on his deathbed. I have mixed a great deal with men of all shades of opinion. I have heard men of science and philosophy raise doubts and objections to the gospel of Christ, but I have never for one moment had a doubt myself. Upon his death, a crowd of 100,000 people lined the streets of Edinburgh to honor the man who introduced anesthesia to the world when doctors perform invasive medical treatments. Now, I could give you many other examples, but think about germ theory. Louis Pasteur. Louis Pasteur is probably up there with the top five or six of the most important medical advancements in all of medical history.
He's on every milk carton.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, I used to think milk was supposed to go past your eyes.
No, they go through Louis Pasteur.
Of course, pasteurized.
They get pasteured by Pasteur.
Yeah.
Well, Louis Pasteur is the one who comes up with the germ theory. Lister sort of helps out.
Right.
But Louis Pasteur there at the very beginning of developing the germ theory in the 1840s, 1850s.
Yeah, his experiment still stands in Paris in the museum there.
Louis Pasteur, here's a quote from him. Posterity will one day laugh at the foolishness of modern materialistic philosophers. The more I study nature, the more I stand amazed at the work of the Creator. I pray while I am engaged at my work in the laboratory. That's Louis Pasteur. So this short survey, friends, offers irrefutable proof that Christ, Jesus Christ, the great physician himself, has blessed the Western world, indeed the entire world, in the field of medical science, especially in the 18th and 19th century, through evangelical doctors, Christian doctors, doctors who are unabashedly testifying of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every meaningful advance in modern history came by Christians. Now, there was one more advance that happened in the 20th century. It happened by a man by the name of Raymond Damidian. Raymond Damidian was the man who came upon the MRI machine in the 1970s. And I interviewed him on this program, so you can find it on Sermon Audio if you'd like. It's a beautiful interview. If your children are into science and you want to know how to make amazing breakthroughs in the area of science, he gives his personal testimony as to how he came upon probably the most important advancement in the 20th century. Raymond Damidian, also a born-again Christian, a creationist, and a man who is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every significant breakthrough in medical science over 250 years, my friends, Christians. Why? Because they follow the physician from Nazareth, the great healer,
the true physician himself. And Bill, I think it is the grace of God. I think it's the mercy of God upon the Western world. In fact, I think it's the mercy of God upon Christians first, but also upon the entire world. Because think about how many hospitals in Japan, how many hospitals in Africa, how many hospitals in South America, how many hospitals in the Soviet Union, how many hospitals in communist China have benefited from the work of these Christians who made these incredible breakthroughs in the 1700s and 1800s for the benefit of all mankind. These breakthroughs came by the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's give them some credit for it. But now, what about the last century? What did we get now? It turns out that on the BMJ list, the British Medical Journal list, the number 7 breakthrough was the birth control pill. The great breakthroughs that happened in the 20th century, my friends, were genetic engineering and the birth control pill. Woohoo. These aren't breakthroughs, my friends. They have become counterproductive. The 20th and 21st centuries will be remembered as the killing centuries, not the healing centuries. If you consider the total use of the new technology and the preeminent forms of the birth control, the primary purpose of technology today is to destroy. It's to kill. That's what they did in the 21st century. That's what they've done for the last, say, 75 to 80 years. Yeah, praise God, we were able to get insulin. Praise God, we got the vaccines. Praise God, we were able to get penicillin from Christian doctors. But it was Margaret Sanger. It was Planned Parenthood that came up with concepts like the IUD and the abortifacient birth control pill. My friends, the 20th and 21st centuries of humanists, they came upon horrible solutions for problems that didn't exist. By a significant percentage, the majority of babies conceived in the 21st century were killed by surgical abortions, IUD technology, RU-46, and other means. Conservatively, my friends, listen to this. 68% of babies conceived annually in the United States and 64% of babies conceived worldwide are terminated by these technologies. And if you go back into the 1880s, indeed, there were attempts to bring some birth control into America. And there were, like, Madame Ristel in New York City, who was arrested. Eventually, she committed suicide and died in a bathtub. But she tried to bring some birth control in, and there might have been 20 or 30, maybe 50 or 60 babies who died in the 1880s. But no, not that way now. Today, close to 8 million babies every year are killed by IUD technology, birth control technology, as well as, of course, the surgical abortions as well. No, we're up to upwards of 8 million babies, or roughly 66% of babies conceived in America are killed by abortifacient, by the technologies, the blessing of technology that came for the humanists in the 20th and 21st century. So did the humanists do any good? No. For the most part, the humanists have been utterly destructive to the entire world, certainly to our world, and they have done counterproductive things for the 21st century. So what a tremendous legacy the humanist post-Christian scientific world gave us. This last century will burn in the ash heap of history because scientists and doctors have abandoned God, they denied Christ, and they have turned anti-Christ. But Bill, if you think about the positive of what godly Christian scientists like Louis Pasteur and like these tremendous men of God, James Young Simpson or Charles Best or Cotton Mather, Dr. Jenner, these guys actually made significant contributions to the whole world. And according to my calculations, Cotton Mather and Edward Jenner's invention of the vaccine have saved about 500 million lives worldwide. The penicillin has saved at least 300 million. I would say at least 1 billion lives have been saved by Christians, while at the same time, anywhere between 2 and 7 billion lives have been snuffed out by humanist technologies.
Yeah.
You see the difference, Bill?
Yep. Those who hate God love death.
Oh, boy. Boy, that is probably the best way to end this program, my friends. All those who hate me love death. That's Proverbs chapter 8. And that is precisely the point that I think we are trying to make on this edition of the program. So my book, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, will chronicle these amazing stories of the contributions of the Lord Jesus Christ, the contributions of Christians to the whole world. And then we will look at the contributions of humanists who have been utterly destructive. The secular humanists, the socialists, the Marxists, those who worship man have been utterly destructive to the 20th and 21st centuries. Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, is coming soon. You can grab a copy, a pre-order copy, on our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.